Good morning. Good morning. Great to be here, always is. See a group of men committed. Historically, two groups formed after Stand in the Gap 1997. One was Longmont Men's Christian Fellowship and Boulder Men's Christian Fellowship, and still going. And so bless you all. Glad you're here. At our church in Erie, Colorado, they began a series in the book of Hebrews. If you want to turn to Hebrews, I'm going to have you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And this series began to stick with me, and you begin just to search. What do I know about Hebrews, or who were the people involved? And I'm going to actually jump to the end and read a scripture in Revelation. It's kind of interesting, John, that this came up, one of your scriptures in Revelation. I'll read this. This is where we're going, men. It says this in Revelation 22, 12 and 13. Behold, I am coming, when? Soon. I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I call this lesson the Sports Hall of Fame? Not really. It's what kind of Hall of Fame? Our spiritual Hall of Fame of faith. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll go through them just real briefly in a moment. Men and women that were committed to spiritual things at the time. It was Old Testament. They didn't know Jesus at the time, but they knew God, and they were committed to him. Many of our, people committed not only their lives, but gave their lives for what we now call the gospel, the good news. So the author, they're not quite sure who the author of Hebrews was. We don't know the author. We do know his audience was probably those that had conferred from being, Jewish to being committed to Christ as he came. It was written in the late 60s. Palestine or Rome was the location. And what we can derive today from this is what we call the assurance of faith. That word faith began to come into play. And let me give you a definition of faith. What is faith? We hear of it a lot. Well, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let me read that again. Faith is the assurance of things hope for, the conviction of things not seen. You have to kind of mentally kind of review that. What is he saying there? Well, that faith is critical to our Christian walk. Now, the Hall of Fame in Hebrews is an interesting one as we progress. When I say Hall of Fame today, who do you think of? How many sports heroes did you have? Do you remember my first ones were Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry and the Baltimore Colts? And then, because I love college football. Pray for those Buffs. They need some. They played a great game against Texas A&M. They really did. Pray for Carl Durrell. You know, he's here. And, But I believe in all of Hebrews, the most famous, if you want to call that Hall of Famer chapter, is chapter 11. So again, the first part begins with Melchizedek. That's a whole different subject. And I'll read about him for just a moment. He was a king of a high priest forever, king of Salem. He blessed Abraham, who gave him one-tenth of everything that he had. Melchizedek means king of the righteousness and king of peace. But he wasn't the greatest king. Who is the greatest king? King Jesus. Come out of that lineage. So what I'm encouraging today, if you haven't done this, I think most of you have because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, is to make a covenant, a bond, a commitment. It's almost legal that, again, we say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I want to be part of what you're doing. So I commit my soul, my life, everything I have to you. And that's the key. Commit your life to Jesus. And then step back and get ready for the action. Because it begins both positive and many times it can be negative. I remember going to PK. We'd have the protesters outside. Now, I admired men that, like you, that would walk right into the middle of them, not argue with them, but say, can I pray with you? And most of them were stunned. What do you mean pray? Lay hands on some, and they pulled, I watched where I was, pulled three or four of the protesters away before a big conference, because I think a lot of them maybe had been church people, and it all, again, came back, you know, the blessing that they had received, say, growing up, going to church. And all of us, I'm sure, did. In our era, probably 75 to 80% of us went to church with our kids. Today, if you look at college students, 5% get involved in the church. And God's plan has always been the church. It's not organizations like Promise Keepers or Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Those are simply to funnel men and women back into the church. So my encouragement, if you don't belong to one, we belong to Calvary Bible out in Erie. It's our highlight of the week to go and fellowship with other people. Okay. After Christ's death, Old Testament sacrifices were no longer needed. They didn't have to sacrifice animals or so on. Why? Because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, became the official sacrifice and the final sacrifice for our sins. Because when you accept Christ, you have to, if you pray that prayer, forgive my sins, Lord, and you mean it. But I want you to add something, and that's the covenant beyond that. Lord, I commit with what I have to do and live for you. And man, that's the greatest decision that you can ever make, is to follow Jesus and make that type of commitment. Okay, the Hall of Fame in Hebrews. Number one was God. He formed what? What did God form? The universe. Not just the earth where we live. He formed the universe. Second was Enoch. Enoch, an interesting individual, taken up but never died. He's one of the three, I believe. Jesus was taken up, and so was, I believe, Elijah, that never experienced death. We will when the time comes. And for all of you, don't rush it, okay? We need you here. We really do. So don't rush it. So then Abel brought a better offering than who? Cain, his brother. That caused one of the first murders. Enoch, like I mentioned, was taken up. He never died. Noah. When I mention Noah, what comes to mind? Noah and the ark. You bet. And he saved the remnant. Next would be Abraham. As far as Jewish and Christian, he was the probably the father of all the faith. He made his faith to transfer and make it our faith. Next was Sarah, 100 years old, apparently, 90 to 100. What did the angel tell her? You're going to have what? At 90? And remember, these are the same years. And she did. She had. She was blessed with both Isaac and Jacob. Now, the turn began when Ishmael came along through her, I guess it would be nurse, or what do you want to call it? And that would be what we call the Arabic, or that type of background physiologically, where we would be more, again, of the Jewish persuasion. So she gave birth to Isaac and Jacob. Now, eventually, Jacob would become who? Israel. That word Israel or Israel. Joseph. What do we know about Joseph? Joseph, again, was a man, and we always remember the coat of many colors that was made. Angered his brother, they put him in a well. One of the older brothers pulled him out. He went on into Egypt and finally became, other than Pharaoh, number two in charge, basically at that time, of the world. From deep in a well, he again expanded the faith that we know of. Now, I mentioned Moses, leader, but we often think of the Red Sea and the parting and taking all the, and they think there might have been as many as a million plus that came out of Egypt into the promised land. Then they have Joshua and Caleb. They marched around a city for what? 7 times, 7 days, and then what happened? The walls collapsed, and again, they went in and took charge. So when the Hebrew or Jewish people were obedient, God blessed them, but they rebelled because they forget. In fact, I think it's true. One generation away can forget all of our, I guess, spiritual background. So with your kids, your grandkids, those that you have us with, be bold, but be bright. Bright meaning know when to speak. One of my favorite verses, James 1:19, be quick to what? Listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now, nobody in here has anger. I know you guys are all calm and collected, but when things anger us, sometimes our true personality comes out. That's when you ask forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Okay, then we move on to Rahab. She hid the two spies. And out of that, they went back in and said, we don't want to go into the land. They're giants. But Joshua and Caleb said, it's open. God will go before us. They didn't listen for a while, but then eventually they did go into the promised land. Now, some other names, Gideon, the fleece. Lord, am I supposed to do this? He laid out the fleece. It was wet at one time. But I'm going to test God. Next day, it was dry. So he had wet and dry, and it was actually a part of that covenant that God created in him to say, you are who you say you're, the great I am. Then you have one of my favorites, Samson. Samson and Anne, what's his little girlfriend's name? Delilah. We don't have any of that going on in our country today, none of that focus on whatever you want to call it, whether it be sex or money or power, or again, one that disagrees with that we do have the opportunity to grow in our faith. We do have an opportunity to make a difference. And you have to choose that path. And a name I had not heard about was Jephthah. He was one of the judges and battled with Amnon. And of course, my favorite would be David. David was a man after God's own heart. Even after his sin, God knew his heart down deep and forgave him for David and Bathsheba. And Samuel, he came to David and said, after he'd gotten angry about killing the sheep and killing Uriah and so on, he came to him and said, "You are that man." And David, I could just see him probably fall prostrate on his face and say, "Forgive me, God." And he said it in passion and concern. In all, there were 38 prophets that have come before us. And we, I don't know how many have that gift. Sometimes you do have a gift of prophecy. Need to pass that on. Again, move through your sphere of influence to make sure others know not only that you're a Christian, but that God loves you. He forgives you, but you've got to make a choice. Now, Daniel, how about the lion's den? Put him in there, and again, Shadrach, what are the other two? Meshach and Abednego. And we could go down the line. These are some of our historical, again, fathers. But let me make the final statement according to that. Jesus, the Messiah, has come, and he is a pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and with the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race that God has put before us, the author and perfecter of our faith. With the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, in the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinful men, that they may and will find and accept Christ, but don't grow weary. There is some wisdom there. Many of us at the age, we said, if I only had more energy. And you can get it through medication, but it's difficult. A lot of times, and addiction happens. So seek God, ask him for your strength. So I'm asking you men to run the race. And it's a great analogy. I was just reading about a man named Usain Bolt, possibly the greatest runner in the history of the world, maybe. Out of my era, I'd say a little gal named Simone Biles, the greatest gymnast that will ever be, maybe never to be improved upon. But they're of human flesh. Our greatest is who? It's Jesus, our Savior and Lord. So when you have that opportunity, get in the race and run it. Now, end with this. It's Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. And it, in some ways, it's a benediction or a blessing. It says this: "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, to equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us that which is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be forever and ever and ever." And when you comprehend, you think, wow, it's a picture of heaven forever and ever and ever. But before we get there, we got a little work to do. Line up to get in the race. And where you lack, cheat a little and grab onto the person next to you and let them pull you a little. Help each other along. So I'll close in prayer, but I want to thank you for the opportunity to share, encourage you to run the race with perseverance and to take somebody with you. Run. I remember one time running a marathon. I got a coach from North High School, John Perez. I said, would you train me to run the marathon? And he did. And there is a point at the end where it's called, you hit the wall. Well, I hit the wall about 21 miles. But my attitude, if I have to crawl to the finish, I'll do it because I've trained this very thing. And I can't look back. I can only look ahead. Lord, we thank you again for these men. Bless them. Bless their spouses. Bless their families. Bless their children and their grandchildren. They may leave a legacy that lasts into eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.